the 25th of February, 2021. Almost the end of February, for goodness sakes. This is Larry Jacobs. Welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio today. It's a pleasure to have you here. As you know, we're part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and I hope you join with us over there at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's where we archive all the podcasts. You'll see them over there, the big icon for podcasts. We also have our magazine over there, which is called Equity and Access. It's an online journal. You'll really like it. Everything we do over there is free for you, just like these podcasts. So please go over, check it out. We hope you enjoy it and spread the word, please, over at ace-ed.org. You won't be alone. We got a lot of an awful lot of educators signing up all the time to be with us and just get their voice heard and read about and keep up what's going on in equity. It's more and more of a question, especially as we return to school and start to look at how and who's going to be making up all the time, et cetera, for some people who have lost the year of learning. It's really tough out there, and it's really tough. We try to make it good for everybody. So ace-ed.org. Part of what we do, we work with a lot of companies, and one of the companies we work with is Izzit.org. We've done a number of podcasts, and they're back today to talk about the professional development that they have in store for educators. I'm going to let Dean and Susan, let me bring them on right now, tell you all about that. If you go over to Izzit.org, you're going to see a wealth of information, all free, videos, that sort of stuff, geared for social studies and civics, I'll say middle grades on up. They can finesse it for you. It's great stuff. It's free. They're adding a lot of professional development in there. Please take advantage of this. This stuff is so important, especially as we come back to school. We got to keep these kids engaged, and some kids are going to remain virtual. They have to stay engaged, too. We got to keep them engaged over the summer as well. This is a great way to do it, and I'm going to let Dean, I'll shut up in a second. I'm going to let Dean and Susan talk. Good morning, Susan. I'll start ladies first. How are you today?
Good morning, Larry. I'm terrific. It's great to be here with you again today.
It's a pleasure to have you here, as it always is, almighty director of education over at Izzit.org. Dean, are you there?
I am, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, buddy. Vice president of the company, at Dean Graziano. It's a pleasure to have you here, pal. You're a well-versed educator, and now you are the VP over at Izzit.org. Susan's the director of education there. And I just want to I don't know who wants to do this. I'll give it to Dean. You can pass it to Susan if you want. Just give everybody the perspective, the info on Izzit. Go ahead.
Well, in Dean. A nutshell, Izzit.org, we believe that education enhances the power of individuals solving problems for themselves, families, communities. Solving the problems, students, people need some skills, some knowledge. And Izzit provides those materials at no cost, such as the critical thinking skills, research skills, knowing how, when, and what questions to ask, dig deeper. Really kind of gain an understanding, become that self-directed learner, this self-reliance. The other part of Izzit is those civil discourse skills. And as you've seen what's happening in the news for the last year, it's being able to talk and address varying viewpoints in an environment of respect, equity, and civility.
Thank you.
You have a differing viewpoint, but someone else should be heard, and here's the platform to do it. And teaching the students really how to do that within a classroom. That's pretty much for 15 years what Izzit.org is all about.
Yeah, thank you. That was good. And I'll tell you, we do have to get our discourse skills, and it helps you to have the information, all right? And it doesn't matter which side you were on. You need the information. Susan, what do you want to add to all that, if you want to?
Well, we not only have excellent video-centered educational units, Larry, but we also have a current events program that is really awesome. It's two articles and lessons every day. The lessons include vocabulary words and higher-level discussion questions. And teachers can use those for writing prompts as well. So if you want to practice writing, you have that opportunity. But again, as Dean said, we really are trying to foster this concept of civil, respectful debate and discussion in classrooms, because we know that that's obviously a skill that we seem to be greatly lacking in our society these days.
Tell me about it. It's really just just crazy out there, what's going on. We do have to learn how to do that. Susan, how many teachers work with IZIT right now?
By working with, or you mean people who have accounts? People who have
people
accounts.
People who have accounts,
however
you want to say that. Yeah, I didn't, you know, okay. Whichever way you want to say
have,
it. Yeah.
We have over 400,000 educators who have created accounts with us. Yeah, and growing every day. And hopefully that's why we're on here. And hopefully more teachers will come and take advantage of these awesome materials that we offer.
And actually, the 400,000 number, which I knew was the one I wanted you to say. I didn't know how you actually measured that. But my point is, this is it, everybody, is a great institution out there for you. And I'm going to say it again, what Dean said, at no charge. At no
exactly.
charge.
And
just go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, Larry, and as Dean pointed out, we've been around for 15 years, so we're not Johnny come lately. We've been around the block
right.
a few times, so we're not, you know, we're not that new, questionable kind of company.
So next year is a Sweet 16. I assume you'll all be dressed up for that?
Well, it will be 15. Actually, June 1st, we're going to have a whole celebration next year of our 15 years. So we're just heading into that.
Larry.
Yeah. Say it again, Dean. I'm sorry. What did you just say, buddy?
We'll have our crystal anniversary. So we've already put together some great ideas,
cool.
some contests, some activities for not just the 400,000, but all those everyday joining IZIT.org educators,
yeah.
both certified and even the family. As you know, that we've changed
oh, that's
the
right.
world.
Thank you.
With
Thank you. Yeah.
So even family educators that are working whatever the transition back to face-to-face live classroom, we address both. I call it the certified and the family. And we've got amazing ideas, some activities planned for our 15th. So not just on the IZIT site, but if they go to IZIT.org on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, they're going to see just a constant barrage of these amazing things that we're doing over the year for our 15th birthday.
It's so great. And again, happy birthday. Invite me to the Sweet 16 the year after. Will you do that?
There you go.
We'll
Absolutely.
Be on your podcast year too, Larry.
Yeah. Susan, I have to ask you. Dean won't know. The girls still have Sweet 16s? It was a big deal when I was a kid, but I was a kid when Moses was a kid. Okay, is it still a big deal?
Well,
do you know?
I think
you're a girl.
I think
I'm asking
we
you.
Been...
You're a girl. Yeah.
I think we might have been kids at the same time, Larry. So.
I don't know.
I don't know about Sweet 16. Now, I do know Quince Arenas are still a big thing in the Spanish culture. Sweet 16s, I'm not as sure. I don't know that many. I don't know that many young teenagers.
Yeah.
I do know one who turned 16 last year, and unfortunately for her, she turned Sweet 16 during COVID.
During the pandemic.
So of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, COVID did not help. We actually did a drive-by, one of those parades. We did a birthday parade for her, so not quite the same thing.
Happy birthday
I
to
hope
her.
They are.
And a Quintera is I know I just mispronounced
15.
That. That's 50. So you're
yes.
celebrating your Quintera. What is a Quintera? I know the word. I just can't pronounce
Quince
it.
Quince Arena, I believe it is.
Quince Arena. Okay. Your cell is it Ms. Is it is celebrating.
There you are.
Folks,
Latino
descent.
Spanish is obviously not our language, Larry.
It isn't. I'm killing it, but congratulations, okay? It's a 15th anniversary. I'm getting myself in deeper here, so I'm going to move on. All right? professional development, okay? Key stuff, all right? And there's a lot of stuff out there. You guys have been out there for 15 years, but keeping people up to date on how to use it, okay, and making sure that they understand why you're putting that particular thing out there is key. It's all professional development. I think you guys have a big year planned for PD, and I think I'll go to Susan on this one. If you want to transfer it over to Dean, you can. Susan, professional development over at IZIT.org.
Right, absolutely. And these are webinars, so we're still doing the Zoom thing, and so anybody from anywhere can join in, and they are for teachers as well as Dean referred to them, family educators. But we're covering all kinds of topics, Larry. You know, so not just all about IZIT.org. It's all about things that teachers really maybe need to be working on. Today we're doing developing critical thinking, and then we have a few other upcoming fascinating topics. One that's a particular favorite of mine is a webinar. I did it as a workshop at the National Council for Social Studies a few years ago, and it's called Be a Sherlock, Not a Sheep, Distinguishing Fact from Fiction. So we're taking a look at, you know, identifying things that, you know, look a little off so that then you can go ahead and dig deeper, particularly before you go ahead and share it on social media and, influence everybody else. I always say I started this because I started out trying to convince my mom not to share things on social media until she had vetted the story and vetted the information and made sure that it was accurate. So that's one that's coming up that I'm really excited about.
And you said – yeah, go ahead, Dean.
I just – the other part of the professional development piece, which I think is what listeners are going to hear as well, is there are many teachers, many educators, many administrators. They value it. But the question that I've always had since 1985 when I started teaching is, do you understand it? That professional development isn't just this event. It's here's what we're going to do. We're going to do just a quick coverage. It's a process. And that process is the support, the collaboration for educators to innovate new teaching strategies. It helps meet, if you will, and influence the students' impact of learning within the classroom. And I think that's what Susan's mentioned is just some spot-on topics. But the umbrella for this is really understanding that it's methodically and deliberately coming up with the topics that we're hearing from educators, you know, out there in the field, as well as what we're seeing with current friends. What can we provide them to give them in this new world the tools necessary to be that effective within the classroom?
And that was well said, my friend. I'm so glad you brought that up. So I'm going to follow up on that with you. How do you do that process? Okay, and give the gang a concrete example of that process. All right, just take one of your favorite subjects and run it through how you would do that. Go ahead.
Sure. So, for example, one of the pieces that we heard from the field, and Susan and I are aware because we do provide, is it.org provides the educational videos, but instead of just this nonstop blast of different videos from the classroom, what are you doing? What are you doing and how are you using them in the classroom? So we came up with an actual topic of how you actually use not just the isit.org resources, but how you can effectively kind of introduce a class. So you have a discussion question, show the video, or in the middle of a class, a 90-minute block, for example, you're sitting there and you're talking about, okay, what's the prior knowledge that we covered? What's the future knowledge? What are we going to address? And it's really starting the discussion with students to just not presume they don't know anything, but get from them what they already may know. So an educator has a better hand on the pulse of what the students know, time invested for the class moving forward, things like that. Then we put together the workshop. That one, I believe, was a half an hour, just enough to kind of give them a couple examples of how we use one of our teachable moments, kind of a dig deeper, less than 5 minutes. And if I can, I'm just going to read. I got an email a couple weeks back, and it's, Dear Dean Graziano, as a parent who is teaching her children at home, your professional development incorporating video and resources was very helpful and timely. I feel more comfortable utilizing isit.org materials into my son's lessons, as well as introducing discussion questions as an exit ticket for perfect ending to a long day at the computer. Get them away from the computer and do some writing in a journal. Thank you, Tracy W. Yeah, so there's basically getting some feedback. We have some educators as well, but I picked this one out because it was a family educator, if you will. And the professional development kind of hit home because we're kind of saying the kids have too much screen time. It's screen time after screen time. So we gave some ideas of watch the video and then get them away from the computer, do some writing. And Susan, as you know, is a USA best-selling author, and I plug that as much
as
possible.
USA Today.
Having her
USA Today.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. what she does is the writing workshop. So that, in support of the timely interjections within a professional development, not only lends credibility, but she's an expert. And that's what professional development is collaboration. It's getting someone who's done something effectively or has, if you will, quote-unquote expertise, and getting that in front of other educators to talk and getting the feedback like this to say, we're doing it right, things we need to change, and how we can improve the process, because that's really what professional development is all about.
I love that. And since you brought up Tracy W., okay, how often are you hearing, and I hope you are hearing a lot, from parents? You know, we have asked an awful lot of parents this year. And by the way, they are parents. We appreciate that. We like them all. I don't mean it that way. Okay, they do a lot anyway. But now suddenly they have to be home educators, okay, to use your phrase, all right? And you know, what are you hearing from parents about the use of IZIT? Because as I said at the beginning of the show, kids are going to go back to school, but not all of them, okay? I'm talking to a lot of superintendents these days, and they know a lot of people are going to opt for virtual, all right? What are you hearing from parents on all this? And how do you look at PD when you know you've got to work with both professionals and parents?
Right. Well, Susan's going to talk in just, I'm sure, about some of the calls she gets, because she is our front line and so valuable to the team. I'm hearing from parents. I'll do outreach, or I'll go and I'll hear from parents via some phone calls, or actually friends that started in an inner circle and is gone, that they need the support. They're getting great stuff from the educators, but they want, what's that one thing extra? What else can I do? So, for example, you're talking about, we just had, you know, the October, the Supreme Court, the untimely death of Justice Ginsburg, and then all the focus went to the Supreme Court. So we had some great Supreme Court stuff with some teachable moment stuff for like 5-6 minutes. And parents were like, wow, this really helps, because it talked a little bit about some keys, seminal cases, et cetera. And they're like, this is easy to follow, easily used material that kind of, as Tracy had mentioned, I can use it for another reason or in support of or in addition to. It helps that we had another, it was actually on one of our social media sites, Michelle from Massachusetts. I had gone and done a drop-off in Massachusetts, and the teacher actually said you could use IZIT.org, and she actually wrote to us saying it was from the teacher that suggested to go on, and she's using some of the discussion points to make sure the homework's getting done, the things are getting done. So I'm hearing from parents that, you know, they are not professional educators and they need this support beyond. We're not in lieu of or in addition to that regular primary classroom teacher. And parents are, I think, happy to hear we've been around for 15 years. Susan will address, when you call us, you hear someone. So I'm going to stop right there and let Susan take over, because there's a personal point to this as well.
Go ahead.
Right,
Susan.
Dean. Thanks. That's the beauty of, you know, giving us a call, and they can find our phone number right on our website down at the bottom, and they can call us anytime between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern time and get an actual person who is familiar with the IZIT materials and the IZIT library. And generally speaking, they're probably going to talk to somebody here in Erie, Pennsylvania. They might actually end up with Dean up there in New Hampshire. But you're going to get somebody around here who knows the material, who knows something about education and can offer suggestions. And I think the big thing is, as Dean said, what parents are looking for is something that's easy and something that they can easily wrap their hands around. You know, I hear a lot of parents struggling, particularly with the math. Now, unfortunately, we are more to the social studies and the science and things like that, and not so much with the math. So we're not very helpful in that aspect, but we are very helpful in the fact that our materials are so easy to use. I mean, it's kind of like pop it open. You know, there's a teacher's guide, which, again, even though it uses the word teacher, it's for all educators, and parents can find particularly the discussion questions, Larry. You know, there is quite an art to crafting good questions, and particularly questions that are not just, you know, the who, what, where, and when, and why, you know, particularly questions then that get the kids thinking about these things. And we provide those with our videos, so we make it easy for them. And that's what we're hearing from parents, is the ease with which they can utilize these materials with their students.
Right, it's so important. Go ahead, Dean. Go ahead. Go.
sorry, but the big piece
no.
is, and I've said a thousand times that you have professional educators that have gone through, you know, a host of training, certification process, et cetera. The parents, unfortunately, were, here you go. You're going to be teaching at home.
Right.
It might be Robert or Auntie Susie. And at the end of the day, they also need some support, not just in you know, what the educator themselves, the primary educator, but if I want to do something extra or they're already using their visit.org materials, I'm not trained in this stuff. How do I use it? How do I apply it? How can I go further with it? And I think not just the professional development, but when they get the call, Susan, myself, Marley, we're directing them that, oh, you might want to try this as well and that kind of stuff. So we're getting a lot more calls than obviously normal because of the world we're now in. So that's why the professional development addresses both the certified and the family educator. And Susan said it best, the discussion questions really get them away from the computer. They got to think of stuff. It's reflection. It's writing, which is never a bad thing to hone a skill for a post-secondary path, career path. So
you're right. And I want to ask you something, Dean. What are you doing today at 11:30 a.m.? Anything?
Yeah, well, we have a actual,
oh, imagine that. How did I ever know that?
Well, it's an encore.
It was a trick question. I knew the answer. I knew the answer. I could leap upon it. Yeah.
Well, it's talking critical thinking. And again, it's funny because it's the same pitch at the beginning of this, that where professional development, you know, is valued, but do you understand it? And I think we all hear critical thinking. It's Forbes number 2 of employability skills that are must-haves for a post-secondary path. So one of the questions I asked at the first one, and all of a sudden the chat box lit up and we got a ton of emails. That's great, but are you making time for thinking? Do you ask the question in 3.4 seconds? Boom. Are you actually giving group work? Are you assigning the time for students to actually think or think critically? If an answer is given, do you say yes or no, or do you say, does anyone want to add to that and correct it? Are you getting students to think? Is that the accepted answer that we all must have? Is there a way to really further that critical thinking? I would argue, Larry, I just said this to Susan, I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday, and I said, yeah, you know, we stress critical thinking, but we need critical listening. What are you to do?
Oh, yeah.
SAT, math, isn't math. It's the SAT's math is a reading comp. If you get the answer, it might ask you for the price of 2. The kid gets the one answer and says, that's it. You got to go back and read. So that critical thinking and listening of what you're being asked or prompted to do is so critical. And that's what this addresses, is how do you kind of stir the pot, if you will, within the classroom? How do you get the critical thinking piece that we all hear is a must have, but I don't think many people understand it. I don't think most people, and it's not an insult, it's, yeah, but how do I infuse those kinds of things in the classroom upon curriculum? How do I infuse that? So hopefully you have some great suggestions and great ideas. The last one we did was, I think it was 30, some are close to 30 educators from all over the world. We had England, Scotland,
nice,
all jumping on critical thinking and all sending back emails or through the chat that, you're right, critical thinking, it's also respect. Being able to address a varying viewpoint, think about it, and saying, well, you may have changed my mind. I may have added to the conversation. That's that Socratic method that, you know, I was honed in law school for me, but at the end of the day, the Socratic method is something that, you know, it's just layer after layer. It's just letting the students keep thinking, digging deeper. And that goes to the point we started off the conversation with, is that self-direction. That's what we want of our students. So,
you know, I have to say something on this. But just a few minutes ago, Susan said, well, we're not really that math oriented. Okay, we're more kind of science and social studies and civics. But Dean just made the point, all right? Critical thinking is critical thinking, all right? Every kid, and I'll include myself, is good at math. Okay, I wasn't good at math. Okay, for whatever reason, I wasn't good at math. Okay, but I was never taught to think about it.
Right.
It was just that however the hell they were teaching it, I couldn't get it. Because I didn't have in those days, it was more rote memory when I was a kid than it was critical thinking. I hate to say it, but it's true. All right? And so the thinking skills that I could have learned in social studies could have been applied, all right, to mathematics.
Absolutely.
But nobody made that connection. Okay. Nobody made that connection, including yours truly. All right. And we lose a lot with this. So when you say that, you know, you're not math oriented, in a way you really are. All of this ties in together. It's that interdisciplinary approach. And before we just move on to this, Dean, the webinar today is at 11:30. If people can't make it at 11:30, that's a.m. Eastern time, okay, which makes it 8:30 in the morning out west, and I don't know what time it is in Scotland, okay. But my point is, okay, is this taped or can they listen later whenever, or does it have to be live?
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
Yeah, live is great, but we also know that life happens. There's classes going on. They might not have the applicable prep period or whatever if they're home. They might actually have a one-on-one or whatever the connections are with their students in the classroom. So, yes, they can go to isit.org and
forward
go to our professional development.
/PD/ There you go.
And
isit.org. So izzit.org. /PD/ And that will get them right to our professional development page, Larry. And we are working on the archives. They should be done probably by the end of tomorrow. And so all of the previous webinars that we've done will be housed there as well. So people can then use it as a library of professional development. Oh, and one thing, Larry, you know, that we haven't mentioned is that we will provide a certificate of completion that teachers can use for licensing. Yeah, for licensing requirements.
That is very, very important. I'm glad you brought that up. And there's something else I want to say, because I am on your website. And there is, by the way, an icon for professional development. All right. But you have that this one and all of them, I believe, are for, quote, teachers or school districts. I think this is the way you phrase it. Okay. School or district, which means districts need to know about this. They can sign up for the whole school. I mean, it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not just one individual person. A school district can go here and make it work for everybody. Am I correct, Susan?
Absolutely. If a school district also is interested, we would be happy to even develop a tailored workshop for whatever it is they need. So school districts can contact us, and again, they can email us or call us, and we'd be happy to provide a tailored workshop for whatever it is their district and their teachers are needing. Now, if they want us to present something that we've already presented, that's great. Or like I said, we can make something that they are specifically interested in.
What a great offer.
Larry, we have some requests. Like, we have one that we'll be doing just at the beginning of the school year in August. We have, and I won't share it right now, but we have a pilot going on in South Carolina, and to actually get it going for the summer, for a summer piece, we're looking at probably something in June, but definitely as we go from pilot to beta, we're going to actually be doing for the school that it's being housed at, the actual high school. So professional development calendars are being prepared pretty much towards the end of the school year for the fall. So we've already got a couple that we're working on, and Susan's right. It's great. We already have a bunch of things already done. And we could do those too instead of a few, but, you know, the whole district. But it's also neat to hear, hey, we would love to, and actually get the feedback of what they really need to have us present within the classroom.
Wow. What a nice offer. By the way, I just want to say to everybody listening, it's all free, okay?
Exactly.
Everything that they're doing here is free. No charge, free. All right, no tricks, free, no charge. And again, the icon is up there. On there, you asked me to ask you this, and I think I'm going to get a surprise. Is there anything, quote, you have quotes, special happening with your PD? Why did you put the word special in quotes, Susan or Dean? Do you know?
Because it is special.
It is special.
Absolutely.
I know it's special, but why did you put special in quotes? You have something particular in mind.
Yeah, I'm going to let Dean take that one.
Dean, take the special in quotes.
Great. Well, I think some of the special things that are happening just within the PD is educators are jumping on board and they're getting kind of a flavor, not just nationally, but internationally. So as the chat box is lighting up, As we're going through the professional development, we're getting some key points of something we said, like spot on, and here's what's working, or how about this, or we have a website. I think the special thing that's going on is it's a true collaboration. You're getting an international flavor of some of the best instructional practices. That in and of itself is special. The other special piece, as you've been really touting, and we love it, Larry, that everything at isit.org is at charge. So we hopefully provide the all-inclusive package, but there are some things that we aren't able to kind of get to. For example, you're on our professional development workshop today, and we're going over critical thinking, and we're going to use some of our specific materials. And a teacher said, wow, I'd love to do a deeper dive. Everyone that's on the professional development is in a raffle to win a $25 Barnes & Noble card. So if you wanted to go get a deeper dive above, we're even covering that at no cost. So some of the special things are we're trying to figure every possible way where we're the complete package. And again, after 50 years, we're still doing, and we're still kind of making things to kind of avoid any hurdle that an educator may have. So that's, I think, something special. We also have another contest going, and I'll let Susan talk about that with Lynn.
Yeah, Larry, we wanted to – oh, well, the Lynn Jackson right now, I don't know if you're familiar. Lynn Jackson is the great-great-granddaughter of Dred and Harriet Scott. And we have a video on the Dred Scott case, and Lynn was part of that video telling the story of Dred and Harriet. But earlier in the year, when Dean was teaching a civics class in person at a local high school, Lynn did a very special presentation for his class. And she did a Zoom call with the class where she was able to really bring that history to life. I mean, the amazing thing to me was she, you know, not just students, but we have a tendency to think, well, Dred Scott, that's like, oh my gosh, that's ancient times.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like way back when the dinosaurs walked the earth.
Yeah.
But Lynn said, you know, I was babysat by Dred and Harriet's daughter. Well, that brings history to where you can practically touch it, right? Like that brings it way more immediate. So she did the whole presentation, and that is on our website right now as well.
Yeah,
and so
here.
For teachers who access that Lynn's presentation, down at the bottom underneath that video, there is a feedback form where we just ask a couple simple questions. And anyone who fills out that feedback form is entered into a drawing to win a signed copy, signed by Lynn, of the Dred and Harriet story, a book about Dred and Harriet. And Lynn has signed that for us. So, again, we're on the tail end
of
Black
living history. Talk about living history.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's just astounding.
Exactly.
It was a really wonderful
opportunity.
And you know, you brought this up. I'm just going to say it. I remember back in 1960. Yes, there was a 1960, everybody, and I was alive. Okay? And I remember in 1960 there was a heightened interest in the Civil War. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a kid. Okay? And I'll tell you exactly. I was 13 years old. Okay, as far as I was concerned, the Civil War happened so long ago, and I'm talking 1960, that it was fun. I always had an interest in history. Okay, it was 100 years. Think about that. That's nothing.
Right.
That's nothing. And when you talk about somebody like Lynn Jackson, who, by the way, would have been in my homeroom at Overbrook High, she's a Jackson, I'm a Jacobs, had she gone to school in Philadelphia. Okay, but it's so amazing. Okay, to be able to touch the flesh of someone who has a connection to history like that. Okay, it's just
exactly.
Astounding. I mean, it really shakes you up that it wasn't that long ago. And even the Dred Scott sketch was, I think, 1857 or something, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, I probably am mistaken, but it's right around there.
No,
okay, 50, am I right? I got that right?
You
Dr.
did,
Rossiano,
Larry.
I got that right. The old history teacher is still working here. I got that right. Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, you're going to love this. Roger Taney was the Chief Justice.
Yes,
T-A-N-E-Y. Right. Taney.
Yeah.
I remember this stuff. But you know what? It seems like it's ancient history. It isn't. And it matters today. Okay? And it's just so that's really astounding. And by the way, Lynn is right here on the website. Just scroll down a little bit on the isit.org homepage. You can see what we're talking about here. But it's just absolutely astounding. Yeah, go ahead, Dean. Go ahead.
Just a quick thing. My former boss, the Commissioner of Education, Frank Edelblum, here in New Hampshire.
Sure, I know Frank.
I had sent out, and if you take a look at the actual presentation, Frank was on that Zoom, and one of the comments was, "This is amazing." Stuff for students, because it wasn't, we recorded it not just for the class I was teaching in Dover, New Hampshire, all isit.org materials, but it was amazing because she gave some of the nuances, the things like Susan said, she brought history lab. I'm a history guy, won a national award. She said stuff I never even knew. And
wow.
What's great about that is for students that are looking like an AP history class or, you know, those are seminal cases, Supreme Court cases that are always on the AP exam. For educators that are listening to this or parents, students are looking at career options, thinking they might want to go to law school. Dred Scott's seminal case, obviously. But to hear some of the stuff that you didn't know isn't just that, oh, matter-of-factly stuff in a textbook. This just really, as Susan said, brings it alive. And I think that's the deeper dive that it provides for the teachers, for the students, for the parents to be able to kind of share with the student.
Right, exactly right. And the point is this stuff is not dry, and it should never be presented dry. This
right.
Everything we talk about, everything they're going to learn with Is It and all the stuff, it has to do with people. And it has to do not mm-hmm. with people in 1860, although obviously it did, but people today, all right?
Right?
Flesh and blood today. We live it today. It's just absolutely, it's absolutely astounding. And the fact that you guys are making this available, and by the way, professional development, the icon over on Is It is all over the place. I've seen it now, three places on your homepage. Did you know that, Susan?
Three places. Because we want to make it as easy as possible for folks to get there
everybody.
To
it's
find
all
it.
Over the place. Okay, it's all over the place. It's great stuff. You guys do good work, and I love the way you keep this alive for everybody and changing, because it has to in this day and age. Nobody would have ever expected we were going to have kids at home for a year. Okay, we're going to have probably 30% of them home next year. Okay, some number like that. All right, and we've got to teach teachers how to teach those kids, okay? Not just kids, not just mom and dad, but teachers have to be able to teach those kids who are at home, okay? And how to make up for lost time this year. Of course, believe me, even though we all tried, there was plenty of lost time, all right? And it's all part and parcel. You guys are so, you're like, if I may take you to the Jurassic Park thing, you're raptors as opposed to brontosauruses. Okay, you can move quickly.
Thank you.
Okay, work together, coordinate, move quickly, and not eat the kids, but help the kids. Okay, think of yourselves as raptors. Okay, who were critical thinkers? Okay, they're basically kids today. They're critical thinkers who could work together to accomplish a goal. That's what you can learn out of Jurassic Park. Okay, don't sue me, everybody. All right, please. All right. Right. That's simple. All right. Now, seriously, this is great stuff. Thank you, guys. This is wonderful. As always, I love having you on.
Larry,
well,
thank you so much.
Oh,
see you in March.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
You will. Okay. We'll be doing it again. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
all right.
Larry.
Have a good one.
Bye. Thank you. Bye. I was losing track of the time. I was having such a good time here. Okay, so we got to sign off pretty soon. That was Susan Gable, who lives in Erie, Pennsylvania. The only person I know in Erie. Okay, so if she's the high quality of Erie, Erieites are pretty cool. All right, and Dean, okay, who's the VP over at Is It.org. You don't know about this? You should. You don't know about the professional development they offer? You should. Okay, great stuff, no charge. Talk about equity. All right, there you go. We're going to archive at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to my wonderful guests, and have a great day.